Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 4th of May, recording at 5:32 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, for the second consecutive day, this is an early recording, or well before I normally record. I did mention, I think, yesterday that I had a function both yesterday and today. Back to normal timing tomorrow and Friday. Okay, first a quick look at the highlights here today, because this is a pretty active day. The Asian stock markets were mostly weaker. Including the China A shares leading on the downside. Japan still closed over a holiday period. I think it's open tomorrow. European stock markets were clipped fairly hard. They didn't start off that way. showed modest gains at one stage this morning, but closed with declines mostly over 1% and 1.62% for the UK, 1.69% for the German DAX. And Wall Street also shows this weaker tone. I think an ISM report came in and it was more bearish than had been expected, and that's clipped the S&P as I speak, and the Dow and the Nasdaq are all down just over 1%. That brings the S&P 500 index back to 1342. Pretty broad sell-off here in so-called risk assets. I hate that term, but you know what it means, and people do use it a great deal, but that means the commodity markets are weaker pretty well across the boards, it seems, in here. And silver it's trading just above $39 here right now, so that's down another $3.50. Gold has caught the selling. It hadn't done much earlier in the day, but it's fallen fairly sharply in the last couple of hours. It's back to 1511, and that's down $25. Platinum down to 1819. It's a pretty broadly based sell-off. Crude oil, NYMEX, that's the WTI, is down to 108.91. And Brent, let me just have a look at that. That's the more important one these days. Down 1.5 to 120.89. And the industrial metals are all hit quite hard, have all been hit quite hard in here today, not least nickel. So, well, no, I haven't completed my review. The U.S. dollar index is down. U.S. dollar is a little bit weaker. It's pulled back some of those losses, though, in the last half hour or so. But the euro got up to 149.40 before pulling back a cent. Euro is still up a fraction on the day. But the resources currencies have started to weaken. The Australian dollars down a cent now, 107.47. And greenback's up against the Canadian dollar. Okay. So, and last but not least, long-dated government bond prices are a little bit firmer against this background. Okay. So what's going on here overall? Well, for several weeks I've described this as sort of a tug of war between I know I've also described it as a scrum, and I have also described it as the heaven of accommodative monetary conditions versus the hell of commodity prices, and that the commodity prices would win out in that struggle. And we also have seen some interest rate increases in the last few days, both in China and also in India, and the India half point rate hike caught many investors by surprise. They'd only been anticipating a sort of a quarter point hike. Now, I think this is a realization that the commodity price inflation that these Asian countries had faced was not going away as quickly as they had actually hoped, and some of that bad weather has continued and kept grain prices quite firm, and rice prices have risen over the last few weeks. So clearly, commodity price inflation is very much a concern, and we did have the earlier oil price spike, and that has slowed global GDP growth very, very predictably. The commodity headwind here is taking a bit of a toll, because people can now look beyond the first quarter earnings, which are very strong in the U.S. economy. But as they look beyond that period, they say, well, or conclude, everyone's going to conclude, well, QE2 ends in June, and that's only a month away, and then we have evidence of slower GDP growth generally against that background of the higher commodity prices, and particularly the higher crude oil prices, and therefore corporate profits will not be quite so robust as people had discounted earlier on, and therefore there's a bit of a scaling down of expectations, and that's weighing on stock markets, and I think it's probably going to continue to do so for a while longer. So we've been in this choppy ranging phase, and I think this is this is now giving way to there's some signs of a somewhat sharper corrective phase, and that's what I would look for. Now, last but not least, Wall Street had broken up out of its trading ranges, did so, I believe, early last week. But I don't think it's going to maintain those moves, because that's not really the global trend. And I don't think that the U.S. is in a leading position. It may appear that way. But you might remember the simile that Robin Griffiths used in his World Investment Summary report. It was a good one. He said, think of these markets in terms of being cars on a train, and the cars at the front are the growth economies, and not the developed economies of the West. And therefore, when the engines, growth engines here are climbing, some of the cars towards the back may still be coming down, and vice versa. So when the growth economies are heading down, you may still see some of the developed economies further back in the train being pulled higher, but they will eventually be pulled down by the engine of growth economies if those are all have previously headed downwards. And we don't want to take that too far, but I think it's as a rough proximity of what's going on here. I think that's fairly reasonable. And you saw how the rebound in the Asian economies, led by the ASEAN sector, once again, that preceded Wall Street's upside breakout. And now things are looking a little bit weaker, although less so in the ASEAN markets, but they're not following through on the upside anymore. So I don't want to exaggerate the risks in here, but it's a difficult time for making money in this environment. I don't feel tempted to sell any of my long-term equity holdings, although I wouldn't be surprised to see a bit more drawdown here. Equally, I could increase those positions, but this is not an environment where I'm tempted to do that either. If we get a big correction, then and that's a possibility. But if we get a bigger correction, then I would happily move in and increase positions. Now, the overall background in terms of equity valuations is that they're not at all unreasonable, and some of them are quite attractive. People keep pointing out that Japan has seldom in modern history had better valuations. Well, it had better valuations if you go back to the 1970s, but that's a long time ago, and most people are thinking in terms of the post-bubble period, when in the immediate after build-up to the bubble and burst bubble in 1989, early 1990, the valuations in Japan were stratospheric. But that's a market that I would expect to weaken when it reopens tomorrow. I think it reopens tomorrow because the global trend is somewhat easier overall, and that yen is uncomfortably strong from Japan's economic, in terms of Japan's economic well-being, in my opinion. So again, the fact is that you and I can only deal with the reality of what that the market provides, and this is not an optimum time for making money. If we get a bigger pullback, that would create another buying opportunity. I also feel, moving on, that long-dated government bonds, mentioned this very, very briefly, not least because I have a losing short position here in these U.S. treasuries. Never comfortable, but I don't think it can really be sustained here. This rally in the bond prices, decline in those long-dated yields, but that is a partial adjustment to the slower growth that people are now, and the markets are now beginning to discount. And I may add to those treasury positions, but I haven't done anything about it in here today. Moving on to the currencies, the U.S. dollar is certainly oversold, but we have yet to see a catalyst here to lift it. In terms of commodity markets, remember this retreat that we're seeing, and have a look at the continuous commodity index, because I posted that. It's a good unleveraged gauge of a broad swath of commodities, both industrials and foods. But I think this really started with silver, going back towards the latter part of last month. I think it was on the 25th that silver had given those quite bearish short-term signals, and causing me to conclude that it could easily come back from that near 50 level that it reached to could easily come back to the $40 level, and it succeeded that in here today. This suggests to me, now that the other precious metals are also being dragged down, that this window has closed here in terms of upside scope for precious metals. And so we're now in a seasonal corrective phase. And if the momentum characteristics of the secular trend remain intact, we'll probably get a bottom in these precious metals maybe around the late July or August period, and I wouldn't be surprised if prices are picking up again in September, but we'll see. We will see. And I'm quite happy to remain on the sidelines here and hopefully reestablish some long positions in a few weeks' time at attractive levels. But I'm in no hurry on that in that department. I'm really probably going to look around to see if I want to short any of these additional commodities. I may have a go at crude oil. I'm not sure. I had shorted lean hogs and live cattle last week, and I covered the lean hogs too soon, and I covered the live cattle in here today because they'd fallen back to a prior support level. So I took that profit as well. But I may well look around for some other commodity shorts, but I'm unlikely to do that in precious metals. I think they'll pull back, but do I want to be short in this secular bull market? I think crude oil is possibly a little bit safer, and it's certainly overextended, I think, due to some of the tracker fund activities. But again, I haven't made up my mind fully on that yet. I'll have a good look around. And that appears to be pretty much it. So a lively day in here. A significant pullback in the commodity markets over the next few weeks would be good news, I think, in terms of the global economy generally. But right now, it's part of the process that is worrying equity investors as well, because they'll read it, and not without some justification, as a sign of somewhat slower GDP growth. And on that note, all the best to all of you.